All right, Boker Tov, everybody, or Erev Tov in Israel, where Dr. Benny, of course, is. And welcome to part three, the last part four of our four-part series, Musing on the Mussar. Today we get perhaps, I guess, the most powerful point in the davening Unatanatokev. Today's shiur is being sponsored by Sandra Bernstein Epstein for a refuah shlema for Rimon Chana Bat Daphna Miriam. We should all be zocha to have good health and good things. It'd be a good year. And I also want to thank the Niederhofer family who are sponsoring the Day of Learning today in memory of her husband, Arnie. Today's the shloshim for her husband. So we should have smachot for this upcoming year. Tich leshana v'kilulotaha, and this should be a wonderful year for all. Okay, Dr. Benny, we're looking forward, of course, to part four.
Thank you very much. I hope this learning shall be, as you said, for refuah shlema and for inui neshama, and our tefillot, which that's the goal of these lectures, to learn this tefillot, should be better and we understand them in a more meaningful way. So thank you, Rabbi Jay, again for the last four shiurim, and I try to focus on different experiences. A lot of learning. We are now approaching Rosh Hashanah. There will be tefillot, and I'm happy to hear feedback after this block of four shiurim. You invited, Rabbi Jay, you invited me to continue, and I'm happy to hear what the people think and what you, Rabbi Jay, and Ilana think and many others, what they think, in order to get a better idea. The goal is to learn and to talk about different aspects, which are a beginning, and it's a never-ending process to learn. The way I structured the four shiurim was with a clear intention to focus on Tfilat Musaf. The first block was on Chana's prayer, because I think we can learn from this wonderful story, as the Gemara did, we can learn a lot about the essence of Tfilah in a broader level. So that was an introductory shiur, a narrative, a beautiful narrative in Sefer Shmuel, and afterwards all the three shiurim, 2, 3, and 4, were around the Musaf, because Aleinu is part of Musaf, as you remember here. And Musaf, Malchuyot, Zichronot, Shofarot, was this big, big handout. And in Zichronot, we mentioned Va'al HaMedinot Bo Ye'amer, under all the states, all the nations, on Rosh Hashanah will be said, what is the future of each of them? And that is the Yom HaDin, which was elaborated, if the Malchuyot Zichronot Shofarot goes back to the late time of the Gemara, Malchuyot Zichronot the Tfilah, the text, late time of Gemara and Geonim, the Unetane Tokef, which is an elaboration of the idea here, goes back a little bit later. And we will give a little bit of the background. These were the topics of these four shiurim, and today I should focus on Unetane Tokev, which is a masterpiece historically, which is a total masterpiece from the philosophy, which suffers. I don't know how to say it in a friendly way, but this tefillah suffered from misunderstandings, that it is the last judgment and God will judge everybody. I think it was misunderstood for reasons we can discuss later. I will address it a little bit. This masterpiece has amazing insights from different levels, both historically, as I show here in the first section, the analysis of the text, which is always very important, just to read the text, what is the structure, what is the meaning of each line, of the flow, is there an idea? I want to compare it to other cultures, and I don't like to do that as a rule. There is a lot of interesting intercultural a comparative study of liturgy. I don't want to focus on that, but here we have a special opportunity. And of course, what we can do today, the piyutim, the poets, the poetry of classical or early Jewish writers from the 6th, 5th, 8th century is not only Unetane Tokev, there is a very, very rich list in the Sidur, in the Machzorim, which reflect Jewish history in a very meaningful way. It is not reporting what happened in history, it is reporting what happened to the people who were facing history subjectively, religiously, psychologically. So we have a lot to learn here, and as I showed with this cartoon, we can get lost in the literature and not easy to find the right approach and to come out with the proper message we want to learn, I will make here a suggestion, starting as usually with a historical overview. Again, Ellbogen is the classic source. There is a lot written since his masterpiece in the beginning of last century. And here we have a fascinating development. A lot was written, what he says in Tanetokhev, goes back to the Bible, goes back to the Mishnah. That is the background. It was written with a lot of sources, a lot of very interesting hints, and Midrashim in both Talmudim, and there is a lot. The author of Unetane Tokev had an outstanding knowledge of these sources, but even more so, he brought them together and put them to a new piece, to a new creation, a new unit with fascinating insights. And it's for many, many years that I'm excited to study it and to read books and doctorate theses. A lot of research is written. And what one can find with the modern search engines on the sources, it is totally overwhelming that a writer 1500 years ago or so had this control of the sources and had clear messages. It is not his poor language that he had to use another source because he didn't know how to put it in words. It is his interpretation to find these sources, put them together, and come up with a new idea. So the text goes back, might be, to one of the Paitanim, the writers of the poets. It could be Yanai, Elazar ben Akalir. Others were suggested who could have written it. Not clear. We will probably never know. It is found in the Geniza of Cairo, which was found 100 years ago, more than 100 years ago. A lot of research was done with these manuscripts in the Geniza, and that goes back 1,500 years, if not more. So that is a fascinating research, historically research. And of course, the story goes that it was Rabbi Amnon of Mainz, Magenza, who, according to the Or Zarua of Vienna, who wrote it in a very dramatic context. We'll talk about that. Last not least, there are modern figures like Leonard Cohen or the terrible story after the Yom Kippur war that the kibbutz Beit HaShita, who lost a lot of soldiers in the war, and it was also there that Leonard Cohen came to Israel and wrote his song Who by Fire. So interesting that every generation found new meanings and integrated their own life in these stories. I want to focus a little bit more in the following slide on these ideas. So what I showed here in the red box, that's the text. But the sources before are so meaningful and so they talk. The classical sources which he uses, they come to full power and they correspond when we come to the text. It's not just quoting them. Let me present now the history of Unetane Tokev in a special way, which not for every tefillah we can do it in this style. That is an old prayer book from medieval age Germany, probably goes back to the 12th or 13th century. And it shows Unetane Tokev. Beautiful to see the text and to think that people who wrote that, who read it, they prayed the same way that we pray today. And it says that a famous rabbi in Magenza wrote it during the Crusades. There were three cities in Germany, Schum, Speyer, Worms, and Magenza. You see here Worms, Mainz, and Speyer is a little bit further down. And these three centers suffered terribly in the so-called Rhineland, that's the Rhine. And one of the Crusades started in Metz when they moved from here to the Terra Sancta, to the Holy Land, and killed here during that time the Jews in the communities. We spoke about that when we spoke about Aleno in Blois, which is further down here in France. And Rashi even witnessed one of these, the early Crusades, he witnessed and he wrote it in his commentary. That was a terrible experience for Jewish history in medieval age in Europe. But we find something interesting, and it says, according to one of the writers, Or Zarua of Vienna, who quotes Rabbi Yaakov ben Ephraim Mibom. He says, it was said by Rabbi Amnon of Magensa, and we'll present the story very soon. He was forced to come to the king and to admit that he wants to convert to Christianity, and he regretted it. He told him, in 3 days I come back. He regretted it, and he was killed, and he underwent tortures. And before he died, he said this prayer. That is the classical story. We should take a look at it a little bit more in detail, as much as time allows. If that's the story, we have to ask ourselves, how is it possible that in the Gniza of Cairo, the text of Unetane Tokev, at least in the basic version, is already presented? So is it written by Rabbi Amnon bar Magensa in the medieval age in Germany during the Crusades? Or is it an earlier text? And the answer is very simple. In the text of the Or Zeruah, it says that since he said it, this tefillah, before he died, it doesn't say he wrote it. It doesn't say he is the author. But he took this prayer, and this prayer was so meaningful to his life, or to the story of Rabbi Amnon ben Magensa, who, not sure that we know anything historically about him. We know that during that time there were crusades and a lot of suffering and tortures for the Jewish communities. Rabbi Amnon is not known from any other source, only from here. So it might be that he is a legendary figure who represents the suffering of the Jewish people during the crusades. And he found a prayer which came from Italy. That's what it says in the text of the Or Zeruah. And that was an old text. But this text came to life for his situation in a much later generation, not as originally written by Yanai or Khalil. And 500 years later, it was used by him for his own situation. It came from Eretz Yisrael. HaKalir and Yanai lived in Byzantic Eretz Yisrael. And it came to Italy from there, from Eretz Yisrael, and from Italy to Ashkenaz, to Germany. And that time, they used this prayer because it has a very special power, this tefillah. And it was used for the generations who suffered from tortures and from the Crusades. I want to elaborate on the sources. Go back to the Mishnah, Talmud, and we know from a lot of tefillot in the Musaf as well. But I want to elaborate. I put it here a little bit hidden with the colors. There are fascinating comparisons to Christian sources, early Christian sources, which I will present briefly in a few slides. But there is a lot to be discussed, what the contribution is from this comparison. So it came from Germany afterwards, 11th century. It came to the Sfardi Sidurim and to all the Machzorim. It has a very special story. And it went from there during the Yom Kippur War, when Leonard Cohen visited Israel, and he visited a group of IDF soldiers, and he wrote it afterwards and sang it to them. And it is in the Kibbutz Beit HaShitam, where it was written again in a very special tune, and is a very, very powerful message for those from this kibbutz, mono-religious kibbutz, who experience, not as in the medieval age from the Crusades, the Crusades in Germany, the Rhineland, from Eretz Yisrael, from the State of Israel in 1973, a lot of soldiers were killed at the beginning of the Yom Kippur War. They had the same experience, the same crisis, a terrible crisis. And Unetane Tokev was an answer for their prayer, non-religious people. So Unetane Tokev has a fascinating history, which I tried to show here. Let me show you here the halachical text of the Or Zeruah, the famous rabbi in Vienna in the 12th century. And at the end of his very, very detailed halachical volume on Hilchot Rosh Hashanah, he brings at the very end, Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Amnon mi Magensa. There was a story, and that's the end of the book, as you can see here. in the line here at the bottom of this printed version. At the end, he brings this story. So before we read the story, one might ask the question, we talk about halachot, about Rosh Hashanah, Tkiat Shofar, Tfilot, many halachot to be elaborated. Why is he bringing stories? He's not a storyteller. He's not a historian. Why is he doing that? And I think the answer is very simple. The halachic author, he knows that that's the halacha, these are the rules, these are the halachot for Rosh Hashanah. However, there is a question of identity. How do we perform in the medieval age? If you hear this story, you get another approach to Hilchot Rosh Hashanah. You get another understanding of the meaning. That's our Jewish identity. Whatever the story was, or the history was, or the story of Rabbi Amnon Mimagenza, that puts you in a framework, historically, emotionally, from the Jewish identity. If that's what happened to him, and he said this prayer, we pray with him. And that is, I think, a very interesting new understanding of the text. That is the text at the end. And what I did, I copied the text some 15 years ago, and I read different papers, and it's very easy to search. I will not do it for today. Anybody who is interested in my Hebrew analysis, I'm happy to send it to him. Please send it to me by email. I can't write, read, and answer chat when I'm talking. So that is the story on 25 lines. And it is told here in a very poetic style. It says the story, that is here we have Rabbi Ephraim Mibon, Mibonna Bar Yaakov. And as I said in the lecture on Aleinu, he is the Elie Wiesel from the Holocaust. He is the Elie Wiesel from the Crusades. He describes the destruction of Jewish communities. And he brings beautiful details. And if you read the text, I know it is an English-speaking audience, and I will not focus on the Hebrew text, but it is a beautiful analysis that I took all these words and I searched what I remembered, and I searched what I found with the search system. It is packed from biblical sources. And that's what I have here in the second part. Oops. Not Karasha. Hold on. Uh-oh. Sorry. You can see it here. Sorry. That is the Hebrew text, which tells the story and all the numbers, all the figures you see here from 1 to 28, and I found much more. I searched for sources in the Bible. It is primarily Yosef in Egypt. The story of Rabbi Amnon Mimagenza is an imitation, or you can call it a relecture, or an identification of Yosef in Egypt. Yosef in Egypt was totally alone. He is the first Jew in exile, away from Bnei Israel, away, far away from the Jewish people, but he sticked to his father's legacy and religion. No assimilation, and he suffered for it. He was in jail. So the whole story is told in a way with many, many hints. That's what Rabbi Amnon Mimagenza, whether it is historical or not, we are not in the kindergarten to ask, is it a true story or not? It is a very true story for Jews in the exile, suffering during the Crusades. It is a very true story that Yosef is a person to identify with and to stick to the Jewish people and to serve the Jewish people. And he took this tefillah, which was known from before, historically, but he gave it a new meaning. And he said the way we prepare in Unetane Tokev, the prayer called Kedusha, holiness, that was his way to prepare his own holiness. In this context, holiness, Lamut al Kiddush Hashem, a very special and tragic holiness. We talk about holiness by identifying himself. So that is a wonderful piece. Now, I don't know whether Rabbi Jay will fire me for the next four slides. So I have to be very careful what I'm going to present now. I'm going to make a comparison to a Christian source. And I think about this comparison for many, many years. I will show you four slides. And before doing so, I want to share with you a fascinating responsa from the 17th century called Grach shel Romi, the city of Rome. Big Talmid Chacham in Rome wrote Tshuvot responsa for different issues. And he says here that there was a famous Rabbi Avraham HaKohen Ariash. And he says that he and his group, they went to the churches of the Christians, and they were sitting there behind the curtain in these churches on their holidays to learn the musical scales for the prayers of the day of Yom Kippur and made arrangement for Kaddish, Kedusha from those notes. So that is a beautiful tshuva, which is rejected by most authorities. Not most, the vast majority of the authorities. That's not a good behavior to go to the church and to learn Nigunim and to come back to the Beit Knesset. But it is an interesting responsa. It says, in order to understand our own prayer, we can learn something by comparing it to others. Whether that is acceptable for you or not, I leave it with you. I don't think it is the right approach to do it. I think we should learn the text and we should find from our sources the understanding. But I leave it with you to see what amazing insights we can learn from comparing Unetane Tokev to other sources. I had the honor and the privilege to discuss it with great scholars, including Professor Avraham Grossman in Yerushalayim, Professor Günther Stemberger in Vienna, who all agreed with the comparison. How to explain it is, of course, an open question, but it needs attention. And here we have the text. If you think about this tshuva, they were sitting behind the curtain, and they were sitting here and listening to the music. Can you imagine one sits here behind the organ, and he sits there and gives a shiur on tefillah? Quite a bizarre situation, but let me show you what comes out from it. Here we have a text. Here we have a painting of famous Michelangelo, who drew that during 4 years. 5 years, he worked on this picture of the Last Judgment in the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican, for sure a masterpiece of art. And what you see here, you stand here about on this level, and you are on the level of people in hell. There is a fire, and the people are thrown to hell, and they are punished. And it's not the light which you see here, it is darkness, and you go down to hell, and there is a snake and unpleasant things. That's where we stand. If you watch to the higher part of the bill of the room of the painting, you see here angels with shofarot, and they blow all the shofar. And you see here a gentleman who is hanging around here. Oops. Sorry. And you see here a gentleman who is hanging around here in number 6. This gentleman here, which you, if I enlarge it, is nobody else than Michelangelo. He drew himself in a way which you can see here, quite miserable, hanging around at the top. That is hell where we stand. That is the throne where God sits. You can see his knees. That's God. And you can see actually the full picture. And you see in the middle a figure who was on the cross. And he is alive on the cross. He is alive. And he takes everybody who wants to get up higher. You follow him and you get there. You don't follow him, you fall down like this guy, like Michelangelo. So that is a dramatic picture of the Last Judgment by Michelangelo, which I think we can identify here the motifs of Unetane Tokev, but totally, totally different. But the motifs are here. We see the throne, we see the judgment, we see the shofarot, and we see there is a way up and a way down. But what is the difference? This picture by Michelangelo goes back to the revelation of John, and I will not spend time to read the whole text. But you see here in the text exactly that John, when he saw God, he had books, a lot of books, and they were sealed with 7 seals. Chatimot. Rosh Hashanah, we are stamped. And he is able to open. Nobody was open to open it. And he wept. Do not weep. See the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. And who can open these books who are closed? Who is worthy to break the seals and open them? Nobody. It's only one who could do it. Jesus, because he suffered. He is the lamb who suffered. He is the lamb who was killed. The motif from Yeshayahu 53. And he suffered. When he opens it, the world is saved. And he will go and pray for the entire world. Worthy is the lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. But without him, we couldn't do that. That is the powerful last judgment from Michelangelo in the painting, going back to the revelation of John in the end of the New Testament. And in the music, you can hear that in the Requiem from Mozart and Verdi and others, Dies Irae, which is a powerful, loud music. And you are frightened by the powerful music, which is the last judgment at the end of the day, the apocalypse. And that's the punishment for the entire world. Only one chance. Believe in Jesus, you have a chance to survive. You have a chance to get rid with him from all the sins because he took them all. That is the message. And now we compare Unetane Tokev to this Christian source. And we come up with wonderful analogies and, more importantly, with very powerful differences. If the New Testament talks about the last judgment and the throne and the angels and all the books with seals and nobody can open it, and God will be very angry, Dies Irae, the day of his anger, and he will punish the world because there is an original sin, and only Jesus, who is the Lamb, he can do it, but he comes from the tribe of Judah, and he is from the root of David. There is no direct relationship between man to God, only with the mediation by him. And here we have Unetane Tokev. Before we go to read Unetane Tokev, Kedushat Hayom. It's not the apocalypse by the end of the world. It is every year's prayer on Rosh Hashanah, which is an introduction to the daily prayer of the Kedusha. And we count on the mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kasheh lichos venoach lirtzot. God will forgive. He gives us the chance every day to make tshuva, tzedakah, and tefillah, to pray, to return to him, and to be engaged in justice and charity. V'chotam yad kol adam bo. The signature, the hand, the signature of every human being is in the books. We will read it very soon. I can take my hand, and my hand signs the books. It's not as in the New Testament source, closed books with all the seals and nobody can write it, only Jesus could. I can write my own history every year. I can decide tshuvat tzedakah tefillah. What a powerful difference. What a meaningful message that we are called and we are invited and we are empowered and we have the obligation to write part of these books. Yes, he puts the stamp. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the owner. He is the boss. But we can write it. And we will see a source very soon which elaborates that. And this tefillah elaborates that. And God treats us kevakarat roe edro. Ma'avir tzono tachat shifto. He takes care of everybody. And he counts us. And he wants that we should be the representative of his holiness, of the sanctity of Hashem, of Kedushat Hashem, the Kadesh et Shimcha al Makdishei Shmecha. We are the carrier of his Kedusha. V'huchan b'chesed kiso, v'yashav alav be'emet. God's throne, where he sits, is based on charity, on truth, not on power. And what is the voice? What's the background music? Not allowed shofar. It's quite ironic that in the shofarot it says uve shofar gadol yitaka. In the big shofar will be blown, but it is a kol dmama daka, a silent voice, a silent voice. And I mentioned what I will say later The silent voice goes back when Eliyahu was on Har Chorev, in the book of Kings 1, chapter 19. And when Eliyahu came to the mountain Chorev, God appeared to him in fire, in the noise, in thunder. And at the end, it was a kol dmama daka, a quiet, quiet voice. It's not the big shofar who takes over the music. It is the rendezvous with Kodesh Baruch Hu. The term of rendezvous with Kodesh Baruch Hu from Rav Soloveitchik is the term, reflects very well. The same way that Eliyahu was there and Hashem asked him, Malach Apo Eliyahu, what are you doing here, man, Eliyahu? We are asked and we are engaged and invited to the rendezvous with Hashem in a quiet dialogue with Hashem. Are you willing to be engaged with tshuva utzdaka, utfila, in kedushat Hashem? If so, kadesh et shimcha al makdishei shmecha. Kiddush Hashem is not only to die for the name of Hashem, it is most importantly and primarily to live in the spirit of Hashem. So it is a very, very encouraging prayer. Yes, man's life is limited, but he can get to a higher level and he is not punished. He doesn't need any mediator. Nobody he needs. It's not at the end of the day. It's your life. God is not angry. And nobody else will take care of it. It is your own hand, the chotam yad kol adam bo. Everybody writes his own history and makes a contribution. I think this message is extremely, extremely powerful. At kan, the summary of what I wanted to say about the comparison. And now, in order to better understand what I said as a background, and you should take it with a reservation and a grain of salt, this comparison, which is very interesting. It's not necessarily what I want to encourage, that people should have this source in mind when they pray. Now let's learn the text, but we should know where it comes from. I will read the text and give you a chance to read the English text in parallel, so we can afterwards give some explanations and discuss it further. ונתנה תוקף קדושת היום כי הוא נורא והיום ובו תינשא מלכותך ויקום בחסד כיסאך ותישב עליו באמת אמת כי אתה הוא דיין ומוכיח ויודע ועד וכותב וחותם ותזכור כל הנשכחות ותפתח את ספר הזיכרונות ומאליו ייקרא וחותם יד כל אדם בו ובשופר גדול ייתקע, וכל דממה דקה ישמע. ומלאכים יחף איזון, וחיל ורעדה יוחזון. ויאמרו, הנה יום הדין, לפקוד על צבא מרום, בדין, כי לא יזכו בעיניך בדין. וכל באי עולם יעברון לפניו כבני מרום. כבקרת רואה עדרו מעביר רצונו תחת שפטו. כן, תעביר ותספור ותמנה ותפקוד נפש כל חי, ותחתוך קצבה לכל בריותיך, ותכתוב את גזר דינם. בראש השנה ייקה תבון, וביום צום כיפור יחתמון. כמה יעברון וכמה יבראון. מי יחיה ומי ימוד, מי וקיצו ומי לא וקיצו, מי במים ומי באש, מי בחרב ומי בחיה. מי ברב ומי בצמא, מי ברש ומי במגפה, מי בחניקה ומי בסקילה. מי ינוע, מי ישקט ומי יתערף. מי ישלב ומי יתייסר, מי יעני ומי יאשר. מי ישפל ומי ירום. ותשובה ותפילה וצדקה. מעבירים את רוע הגזרה. כי כשמך כן תהילתך. קשה לכעוס ונוח לרצות, כי לא תחפוץ במות המת, כי אם בשובו מדרכו וחיה. ועד יום מותו תחכה לו. אם ישוב מיד תקבלו. אמת, כי אתה הוא יוצרם, ואתה יודע יצרם. כי הם בשר ודם. אדם יסודו מאפר וסופו לאפר. ונפשו יביא לחמו משול כחרס הנשבר. כחציר יבש וחציל נובל, כצל עובר וכענן קלה, וכרוח נושבת וכאבק פורח וכחלום יעוף. ואתה הוא מלך אל חי וקיים, אין קצבה לשנותיך, ואין קץ לאורך ימיך, ואין לשער מרכבות כבודיך, ואין לפרש אילום שמך. שמך נאה לך, ואתה נאה לשמך, ושמנו קראת בשמך. עשה למען שמך, וקדש את שמך על מקדישי שמך, בעבור כבוד שמך הנערץ והנקדש, כסוד שיח שרפי קודש, המקדישים שמך בקודש, כתר ייתנו לך שם אלוקינו. That is the prayer, and the translation you can see on this side. What I would like to do now, having looked at the text, and I put numbers to the 45 lines in the Hebrew text, I would like to invite you to see what is the text. What do we see in the text? We see a lot of very, very interesting messages. Before I start counting words and finding a leitmotif, which word is mentioned very often, what do we see? I want to talk about the holiness of the day, which is special. The holiness of the day has malchut, zichronot, and shofarot. That is the holiness of the day. We know this topic very well from malchuyot, zichronot, shofarot. Isn't that what we discussed in Musaf la Rosh Hashanah? It is the Mishnah who says that. And the Mishnah is based off the sources from the Bible. So malchuyot, zichronot, shofarot is Rosh Hashanah par excellence. The poetry of this Unetane Tokev takes all these sources but gives them a new shape. We see the angels. What strange angels. They are shocked. Chil ura'ada yochezun. And they talk about din, din, din. But God, he sits on the throne of chesed, of love, of mercy. So what are the angels? Are they independent? Are they independent entity? For sure not, chas v'shalom. So God counts everybody. And we are very much aware that between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, something happens. It's not the last judgment and done. It gives us a chance to think it over, to reflect about it. Because we remember that the shofar of Rosh Hashanah is strongly connected to the shofar of Yom Kippur. We spoke about that in a previous lecture. So we have time to think about our life, to think about our decisions in our life. And it comes at the end of all these questions, which we can elaborate in more detail, which could be elaborated in more detail. We can't do it now. But it is a clear statement that with tshuva and tefillah utzdakah, whatever the decision is, you can change it. Line 30 and 31. Because you are open to forgive. You are not interested to be angry. You do not want to see a bad person die. You want a bad person to make tshuva, and you wait for him for the last day. It's the decision of every human being that he can make. Because it says at the beginning, there is a contradiction about the judgments, about the rule, about the law, the din, on one hand, and about the chesed on the other hand. And you enforce and you encourage, and there is a positive reinforcements of chesed and of tshuva. Yes, human being has a limited time, and there is a timeout. But during this time, even though we are in a very short time our life, you live eternity. En kitzva lishnotech. There is no limit for your years. Our life, line 14, is kitzva, but yours is not. If we stick to you, and we are part of your kedusha, we are makdishei shemecha. 10 times you see the word kedusha in the last section between 40 and 45. 10 times, but it's about kedush bochus sanctity. It's his kedusha, but we are. Ushmeinu karata bishmecha, line 43. We are a little bit involved. We have some shares in your kedusha. If we do it properly, If we live in your way, we can sing with you. And that is the bottom line of Unetane Tokev. It's not frightening in us. It's not depressing us that we will all die one day. No, it is use your time and bring it to Kedusha. And if you open the next page, that is Kedusha. We can share with all nature, with all the creation. We can share Kedusha. That is the message of Unetane Tokev. What I did here in this handout, which is impossible to present all the sources, but it is for me always a sport to bring in as much as I can squeeze in on one handout. And I can actually go much wilder here because it's not the smallest font which I used here. But I think it's a good start. We have a lot of sources here. And I separated the sources without going now all the sources. I want not only to see what do we have in the text, which I just tried to explain. I don't only want to see what we have in the context. We prepare our Kedusha. You are holy and we want to have a holy life and we want to stick to you. So your holiness will be on us if we live in a holy way. That is the context. That's the bottom line. That's the message of this tefillah. But if we go now backwards to the sources which he used, we will see an incredible richness. And as I said, a total control of the sources with an unbelievable genius mind, how to explain these sources. And that is something which I would like to encourage you. I will give you a little, a few ideas to show that. You see here, the Bible is in blue. In red are the sources from the Mishnah. And green are Gemara and Midrash. And this writer had amazing control. Please take a look on the right side. He took motifs from Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. It says there that the order of the prayer on Rosh Hashanah is Avot Gvurot U'Kedushat Hashem, the first three blessings at the beginning of the Musaf, V'Kolel Malchuyot Imahem, V'Einot Tokea. You mentioned something about Malchut in the third bracha. That's exactly where the Mishnah Unetane Tokev fits in. The Einot Tokea, he doesn't blow the shofar, but he mentions the holiness of the day. He mentions, and that is part of the Einot Tokea, Kedushat Hayom, the Tokea. So he mentions already Kedushat Hashem and Kedushat Hayom. That's exactly the beginning of Unetane Tokev. Unetane Tokev, Kedushat Hayom, because we talk about the holiness in the third bracha, which will prepare us to pray the next bracha, Kedushat Hayom. So he puts that together. He is like explaining this Mishnah in his prayer. It says in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, B'Rosh Hashanah, Kol Ba'ei Olam Ovrim Lefanav Kivnei Marom. A very interesting term. All creatures pass before him like sheep. B'nei Marom, there are two other explanations in the Gemara and the interesting Latin background to that. And it's based on a Pasuk in Tehillim. And the Gemara in the Yerushalmi says, all states of the world will be judged, which one will have peace and which nation will have war. So this idea that the entire world, at the birthday of the world, the entire world is analyzed by Hashem, but actually analyzed in a sense that everybody should make his own decision as being part of it. And we have Malchuyot Zichronot Shofarot. We spoke about these, about the Mishnah to mention the three motifs of Malchuyot Zichronot Shofarot many times. It's the whole Shmonesre. So he takes this picture of Malchuyot Zichronot Shofarot, that he opens the books where you remember what everybody does. And everybody writes his own book. What fascinating idea. It is an anthropocentric approach. I write the book. These are the books of Hashem. But I write his books because I can be a Mekadesh Hashem. And on the right, on the left side, we have two Mishnayot from Masechet Avot, not related at all to Rosh Hashanah. Masechet Avot talks about basic ethics, moral values. And the Mishnayot says that all creatures, those who were born are to die, and those who have died are to be brought to life. Here we talk about Lidon, Lida, Lahodia, Lahodia, Hu HaYotzer, Hu HaDayan, Hu Ed. The writer, the author of Unatane Tokev says, yes, that's exactly the motif which he took to his line here, where you see that he does it all in line number 3. Ki hu dayan u'mochiach v'yodea v'ed v'chotev v'chotem. That is a motif of Rosh Hashanah. Please be aware this world is not yours. Somebody is the owner. And now we have to give a report. And it says in Mishnah Masechet Avot in another chapter that good people, there are 4 kinds of temperaments in human beings. One is hard to become angry and easy to be appeased, a pious person. He's a chassid. Who is the pious individual? It's Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we learn from him for our own personality, for our own temperaments. We learn. Who is the best example? Kodesh Baruch Hu. If he has this feature, we have to follow his way. So Unetane Tokev is actually giving us a basic educational message that we have to follow these qualities for our life, as we say in Mishnah Avot. And who shows us that? Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's not the last judgment, that everybody is punished. And everybody, anybody who will not accept any mediator, he will not get there. It's exactly the opposite. My qualities I have to acquire. Kashe lichos v'noach lirtzot. Hard to become angry and easy to be appeased. That's exactly what we have to educate ourselves. Because it's a tefillah of our own decision. Of tshuva u'tefillah u'tzedakah. And we write it. We are co-authors of the books of Hashem. They are not closed, these books. They are all open. And we are all invited to be part of it. And that is actually the Midrash, which is so powerful to understand here. It says in Iyov that the seals of the hand, every person, he will from knowing his own action, the Pasuk in Iyov. So I cannot elaborate the Gemarain Masechet Ta'anit. It says there at the end of the day, all these books, when one dies, all the books are opened in front of him. And Kodesh Baruch Hu reads the books and says, Kach v'kach asita, b'makom ploni v'ploni, b'yom ploni. And Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us a report, a reflective summary. What we did in life, says the Midrash, will be given at the end of our days. And every human being says, yes. And we are invited by Hashem, v'omrim lo chatom v'chotem, sh'ne'emar, V'yat kol adam yachtom. We write our books, which Hashem reflects what we did. It's our responsibility. It's our decision, says the Midrash. V'lo od ela shematzdik alav et hadin. Every human being will justify the judgments upon himself. And he says to them, you have judged me well. That is the pasuk. So what is the message of this beautiful Midrash? When a person dies, that happens. The author of Netane Tokev says, no, don't wait till you're 120. And at that point in time, it will happen somewhere in heaven. I don't know where. It happens every day in our life. And every year we have to summarize the life and plan a better life for the next year based on Tshuva u'Tefillah u'Tzedakah. That is the message of the first source. The second source on this slide goes back on Kol Dmama. A faint sound of silence. Think about this idea. Ubeshofar gadol yitaka, in a loud shofar, it will be blown. But what you actually hear, forget about the noise of a loud shofar. The voice of the shofar is silence. And Eliyahu and Har Carmel, when he saw the revelation of Hashem, he listened to the silent sound of Kol Dmama Daka. And he was asked, and a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? It is Professor Reuven Kimmelman, and you have it in the references and in the sources, who has a wonderful elaboration analysis of this text. And I can tell you, a Brandeis professor, Professor Reuven Kimmelman, whatever he wrote is worthwhile to read on Tefillah, wonderful insights. And he says, it is the silence. I listen to myself, I start a dialogue with Hashem. Hashem asked Eliyahu in a very quiet voice, "What are you doing here?" And that is what Unetane Tokef tells us. "Man, what are you doing in life on earth? You know what? You better focus on tshuva utfila utzdaka, and you try to be a maklishei shmecha." The third part of this slide shows you something about the angels. And the angels were a tough question how to understand it. First of all, we don't believe in angels at all. In the Ten Commandments, we don't believe in any other entities. It's only the monotheism and no angels. But Malach is also a messenger. A shaliach, vayishlach Yaakov malachim. He sent messengers. So they are not necessarily divine human beings in heaven. They might be individuals. On a person, you can say a malach. And the words of Yochezun, trembling, and what I highlighted here, I will not elaborate too much in this source, but those who understand the Hebrew can see these sources, both in the Bible and in the Gemara Masechet Zvachim. It's obvious to me that what he did here, the author of Unetane Tokef, he says these malachim, the angels, Mem Lamet Alef Chav, are actually the other kings. Ki hinei hamelachim noadu. The other kings came, but they will be a fearful trembling seized upon them. The other nations, they are the melachim. So the poet, the author of Unetane Tokef says, these kings, they are messengers. And he quotes, obviously, Tehilim Mimchet, where you have the words, Ki kashimcha Elohim ken tehilatecha, that is integrated in Unetane Tokef. The author of Unetane Tokef says, a lot of kings will come to Jerusalem and threaten Jerusalem, Psalm 48. And the author of Unetane Tokef says, yes, these enemies, these kings, they have a message for us. They're actually kind of angels from Hashem, not the best angels. We don't want to be like them because they talk din, 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 and they might be dangerous. But Kodesh Baruch Hu will make sure whatever they say, din, punishments and bad judgments, we have the direct rendezvous with Hashem, who wants chesed, mercy and charity, and he wants to support us in our life, not to punish us. Here we have the source from Yechezkel and Yirmiyahu quoting Kevakarat Ro'e Edro. That is the Jewish people who is by a shepherd of his flock. It's not anybody else who was a lamb and who was killed and slain. No, we are his tzon marito. V'anachnu amcha v'tzon maritecha. And Hashem will count us when we come back to Eretz Yisrael. It is the Jewish people coming back to Eretz Yisrael, what is told in the sources of Unetane Tokef. So with my Zionistic inspiration, I read the words, Kevakarat ro'e edro, ta'avor nahatzon tachat shivto. Obviously, these are the prophecies in Yechezkel and Yirmiyahu that we come back one day to Eretz Yisrael. And Yechezkel says so clearly, ki lo achpotz b'mot amet, psukim which are integrated in the Ni'ila prayer of Yom Kippur. We have the time to come, we have the opportunity of repentance. And the wicked person should step away from his way, and he should live. The prayer talks about life, not about death. Yes, there will be a death at the end of our life, but the prayer emphasizes and encourages to live. The last source says, we say in Unetane Tokef, Emet ki ata yotzram, vata yodea yitzram. You are the creator, and you know their yetzel. You know his attitude, bad and good attitudes. And here we have a fascinating Gemara in Masechet Brachot, where it says, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim et Adam. God created man. Why is it written Vayitzer with two W? The creator, Hashem, is my yotzel. And oy vavoy, I have only my own inclinations. It might be very bad. If one opts to follow either his creator or his inclination, chalila unto him from the other. The Gemara sees the Yotzer and the Yetzer as a contradiction, dichotomy. Or you stick to your Yetzer, bad for you, or you stick to the Yotzer, to your Creator, good for you. How do you bring it together? The Gemara talks about the tension. How can we survive that? The Tefillah says, no. Emet ki ata yotzram. Ve'ata yodea yitzram. You understand me. Men, you, Hashem, you understand men. If you understand men, it is upon men to know that we should find back to Hashem. That is a beautiful source in the Gemara. But the way, if in the Gemara it is presented as a contradiction, as a tension, as an incompatibility of the expectations by the Creator and our own human inclinations, which might be terrible, Yetzer, Yetzer Hara, the prayer takes it to a different, totally different level. Of course he quotes this Gemara, no doubt about it. Yotzri v'yitzri. But he says, you are the Creator, you want, you understand our weaknesses, but you can make us better. You can encourage us and lead us in the right way. So the authors, the Unetane Tokev author, took this Gemara, which shows tension, and brings it to a level of completeness. We can change it because Hashem, you the Creator, understand me. If you understand me, Hashem, let me make the best. Let me make the best out of my life. And that is Kedushat Hashem, to move forward. That is a masterful explanation. I want to summarize with this source from Sefer Nehemiah, the way it is presented and very often by the Chazanim, a very powerful, frightening tefillah, and people start to cry. Yes, life is limited and we have to make something out of our life. But the end point, the bottom line of the tefillah and of entire Rosh Hashanah, it's not a fast day. It's not a day to be depressed. It's not Tisha B'Av. Al te'atzevu, says Nehemiah, you should not be saddened, as joy in the Lord is your strength. That was what Nehemiah said when the Jewish people came back from the exile, and they listened. Berosh b'yom echad l'chodesh ha'shvi, that is the date of Rosh Hashanah, Nehemiah was reading the Torah, and they all performed tshuva. Ki kadosh hayom la'adoneinu. And this term of verse 9, this day is holy to our Lord. That is the kedusha. Don't cry. Take good food. Ichlu mashmanim ushtu mamtakim, it says. Go and eat rich foods and drink sweet beverages. Why? We should get empowered. We should have the joy. We should feel the kedusha, and we should follow this kedusha to make our life better, to work, to make the world better. That is the message of Unetane Tokev Kedushat Hayom. So I tried to show the historical background, the text analysis. I did not have time to compare it to other beautiful piyutim. We should leave that for another time. The intercultural comparison to the New Testament, the last book in the New Testament. I try to build it in a way that is hopefully acceptable, and if not, just delete it. But I think we have to learn something very special from the story of Rabbi Amnon. Rabbi Amnon Mimagenza, whoever it was, or he was probably not a historical figure, but a very, very, very meaningful, legendary figure. We can be depressed by the surrounding, by the condition of our life, whether that is the Crusades in the medieval age, whether it is the Milchemet Yom Kippur in Beit HaShita, whether everybody in his own life can be very depressed. But Rabbi Amnon Mimagenza, whatever happened to him, he didn't stop praying. He didn't stop to connect to Hashem. And even when he was in the most extreme situation of tortures and the end of his life, he had in mind, I pray, I will leave an impact. I will leave a fingerprint of the Jewish life, the Jewish people. We have a Kedusha, and we are privileged to follow this Kedusha and to make the world a better one. I want to dedicate that to the memory of my father, Zichrono Livracha, who survived Auschwitz. His Yahrzeit is next week. And he had, I show you here the link to a movie I prepared on him. And during the worst times in the war, he had his tefillin with many others, and he can stick to his own belief. A 15-year-old boy who had in mind to keep the tefillin till almost to the end, till the march of death. And he continued his life to realize a life and to lead a meaningful life and to live a Kedushat Hashem. And I think that summarizes it very powerfully, that whatever happened, Rabbi Amnon Magensa did it, and many others that did it, and that's our opportunity to learn in our tefillot. That was the last shiur of the unit of form. They are wonderful. I'm happy if you write me to one of these emails, Tehillim or Tefillah. And there is a lot of literature written on that topic. I have something on my Hebrew website written there. And I'm happy if you have any question to open it for the discussion. Thank you very much for your attention.
I forgot to unmute. Thank you, Rabbi Benny. Thank you very much. Yashar Koach. There are a few questions in the chat box, which we can take up in a moment. And if anybody wants to unmute themselves. But it's just interesting. Mark Shapiro also, you know, speaks about, it's like you say, it's probably not a historically true story. And as you mentioned, it's the only reference we have to a Rav Amnon and Magenza in all of rabbinic literature. But he said, even the name Amnon, we don't have any other rabbis, Amnon, and anywhere. And of course, comes from the word emunah, faith, you know, that this story was to instill the faith, you know, of the Jewish people. It wasn't coincidence that it was a Rav Amnon who is supposedly the one who introduced Unatana Tokev to our Machzorim. But anyways, I figured I would add that in.
That's actually, Rabbi Jay, it's actually what it says. It's very clearly in the text. Because the text itself says, I have it here. The text says it, oops. Rabbi Amnon Shmo, ki kidesh et Shmo be'emunah. It is the text. It's not that with all I have a great respect for the scholar Rabbi Dr. Shapira, but it says it here very clearly. V'ratza lekadesh et Hashem. V'saval al emunato al davar sheyetza mipiv. Hachi nikra shmo Rabbi Amnon. You see here the line 14. Ki he'emin be'el chai. V'saval al emunato yisurim kashin. Me'ava. So it says it very clearly. So the text says,
go on. Yeah, so it probably that wasn't his real name. They added the name Amnon because of what he did.
Yes.
Yeah, right. That's okay. Very good. Okay. Should we go through a couple of questions in the chat box? Lots of people thanking you, which, yes, we all agree. Somebody asked. I'm sorry?
So do I. I thank you.
Oh, thank you. I don't understand. You can say the prayer is focused on life. It is giant hammer saying these are the ways you can die at any time. It does have a lot of death in it. So I don't know if you want to. I'm not disagreeing. It's not. I'm quoting the question.
Yes. So I think that is, of course, I don't want to call it a misleading understanding. It is an understanding of the negative part. Our life is limited. Our life is not forever. Our life is limited. We have to count our days and we should make the best out of our days. But the message is not remember that you will die and you will die and you are Mr. Gornish mit Gornish. And if you don't believe in anybody who is a mediator, you remain nothing. I can do a lot with my life, Kiddush Hashem. And I can get closer to Hashem. And if you read the next one, the next part of Kedusha, it talks about that we and the angels, we have a minion together. We daven together. Our prayer is with the world here, with the world in heaven. We pray together. These are not the malachim who block us, who bring us to punishment and death. These are the malachim who lift us up to pray with Hashem. That is the message. So if we disconnect the beginning, mila chayim v'mila mavet, it's terrible. the song of Leonard Cohen stops at Mir, who by fire, he doesn't talk about Kedusha. His entire song is not led by Kedusha. Of course, we got another impression. And Beit HaShita, the text they sing, is not Tshuvaut Filaut Stakama Virim et Roa HaGzera, Beken Shimcha, That's not what they say. So they picked a very special section. Yes, death, life ends mostly with death. That it is true. But the message is make the best out of it and lift it up to Kedusha. Who is the best example for that? The legendary figure of Rabbi Amnon. He died. But what we know from him is not that we mourn his death. We admire his life to the last moment.
All right, Carol points out something interesting. Amnon, of course, Amnon and Tamar is not an admirable figure in Tanakh. Perhaps it suggests even someone like that can be redeemed. Now, Amnon has that negative connotation too. Very interesting. I don't know if you want to comment on that, Rabbi Benny.
That is something I have to think over. About this motif, whether it's the biblical hint or as the story tells, it is Hachi Rabbi Amnon Shmo ki he'emin b'Hashem. I do think that the story wants to tell a story about Emuna. So the connection to Amnon v'Tamar, which is a good story, is not necessarily what was leading the author to tell a story with the name of Amnon.
Okay.
I have to think it over.
Yeah, I'm just, but the insights of our wonderful audience. So Gershon wants to know, interesting, is the phrase, keep name Aaron, does that make that a polemic? You know, see, but it's a contrast to Jesus, the Lamb of God. You know, was there, can you add that polemic, I guess, into it?
Yeah, so that's actually, the Gemara asks the question. I can quote you what the Gemara asks. Keep name Aaron is a term which the Gemara says, like the might be kivnei marom, those v'chol ba'e olam uvrim alav kivnei marom, they all pass like those who live in heaven. So I'm like one who is in heaven. If that's the interpretation, I have to explain the mem and the noon as a mem. Maron is marom, up there. So that might be other spelling of the term marom, instead of maron, it says marom. We live all high in heaven. A very, very meaningful message and the feature of Unatane Tokev. Our life can go like we are in heaven. Or it could be like a Roman term, a Latin term, that we are like soldiers. That is what the Gemara says. And the Yerushalmi elaborates that because the Yerushalmi lived there. And whether there are more interpretations, I know that there are a lot is written about the term. I think the simple text is Kivnei Marom, that we are under his supervision. And if you look at the text in the Mishnah, which I would like to show you, I think from the context of the Mishnah, it comes out very clearly that it is, hold on. V'chol ba'ei olam ovrim lefanav kivnei marom. On Rosh Hashanah, all creatures pass before him like sheep, b'nei marom. As it states, he who fashions all their hearts, who understands all their deeds. That is exactly the message in the Mishnah, which Unetane Tokev says later on. If Hashem is the Yotzer, the creator, who fashioned all their hearts, it's the same word of Yotzer. He understands what they do. That's what Rosh Hashanah wants to say on the level of the Mishnah. Everybody passes there. Please pay attention. The term kol ba'ei olam, all creatures of the world, is a very, very, very special expression in the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about humanity. The Mishnah talks in Masechet Sanhedrin, a person who kills one human being should be considered as if he have killed the entire world. A later reading says, "Kol ha'metzil nefesh achat m'Yisrael." For sure, a wrong writing, a wrong text, because man was created unique, Adam. So we talk here about the ba'ei olam. This term, Ba'ei Olam, don't have the time to show it to you. Rambam, Maimonides, uses this term very, very often in his halachical and philosophical writings. Everybody who is on earth is of interest in Rosh Hashanah. And we discussed it in Zichronot. It is Adam, Noach, Abraham, and Moshe. We live part of a line of humanity, of human history. That is everybody. So I think everybody has the option to be in heaven. Look what it says in Tehillim. Hayotzer yachat libam, hamevin el kol ma'asehem. Every human being, the source in Tehillim 33, doesn't talk about the Jewish people, about humanity. That's the message of Rosh Hashanah, according to the Mishnah, and developed and elaborated so beautifully in Unetane Tokev. Every human being has the chance for Kedusha.
Okay, thank you. On that note, I think we'll give people some time to eat some lunch, because at 1:15, 8:15 in Israel, dinner, I guess, if you're there. Rabbi Alex Israel will be giving a special shiur on what we should be thinking about when we hear shofar sponsored by the Alman family. That's in 50 minutes from now. So all are invited. This evening, Moshe Sokolov gives the last of the year, I guess, of this year, 5781, the Haftorah of the year we've been doing all year, the wonderful shiur, the Haftorot. And then tomorrow we have our triple header. Gil Pearl will be giving the talk on the bracha of Shachianu, Thanksgiving, tomorrow at 11. Ari Shvat continuing his series on Orot HaTshuva of Rav Kook. And 8:30, Rabbi Gemara, Benny, will be giving the parsha. And I put in the chat box, the tshuva you quoted from Rome about going back in church. I first heard that tshuva from Rabbi Gemara in a shiur he gave in Or Chaim a couple of years ago on music, on tunes, on Rosh Hashanah. So he quoted that tshuva, how they would go to the back of the church and, you know, listen to the music. So those who don't know Rabbi Gemara, those who do know, I invite him. But those who don't, he's been a Rosh Yeshiva here for many years, and now the vice principal at Chat. And so that's tomorrow night, 8:30. And then we're finishing off 9:30 Friday morning, the last of our sessions on Pirkei Avot. The year is coming to an end, and then we've got to start with new shiurim. Okay. All right, everybody, we'll see you soon, please God, and we'll be in touch, Benny, and thank you very much, and say hi to Azaria and all the guys, and we don't speak, everybody should have a wonderful year. Thank you, Audrey, on the back end from Dr. Benny and Bakashan. We'll see you all soon, and enjoy your lunch or dinner or going for a walk and a stroll, and we'll see you in a few minutes. I'm going to log off. You'll log back on to that shiur. The same code to get in, but do a separate log on. Okay. So Rhyme Tovim. Erev Tov.
Shana Tova for everybody. A healthy year.
Okay.
Shana Tova.